Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We love you so much. We love your presence. We love the presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are not an it to us. You are a person. And the person of the Holy Spirit walks in our midst, lives in our midst, breathes in our midst, brings peace into our midst, and acknowledges openly that he directs us toward the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we love you, and it is all about you. Thank you for your sacrifice for our lives. We give you honor, give you praise in that name, which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. I'm going to continue speaking about the prayer of faith speaks. I got to hug Pastor Tim this afternoon for the first time in, well, 3.5 weeks probably. And it looks like he's kind of been on a bit of a diet. He's lost 50 pounds. And he will readily tell you that's probably no way to lose the weight. But he still has ways to go just as far as physical. You know, he's basically been down. I mean, laying down or sitting down. And so they're going to have to get him built up again physically. And Kristen was telling me, went in there and they adjust the leader. It's the unit they go by when they're giving him oxygen. But anyhow, when she started visiting that, the need for oxygen dropped considerably. The doctor walked in and said, I've never seen it drop that much. And well, it's good to have somebody that knows God that goes in there and sits with them. And, you know, I think this, but we ought to pray this way. Sometimes because of regulations, we couldn't go in. Nobody could go in and see them except staff and that kind of thing. But I would always just say, sick them, Lord, please. Go in that room and let Tim know your presence, because you're never alone when God's on the scene. Amen? And I remember years ago, there was a man in our church, and he was in a oil well fire. They were coming out of the hole and hit a gas pocket and lit it up, and it lit him up. He rolled across the floor in oil. They were coming out of the hole doing a test run. And he literally became a lit candle because of the oil that was on him. And then when that thing exploded, it was just not a pretty sight. But I remember when I got to the hospital, the first question he asked me, he says, am I going to die? And I asked the Lord on the way down there. I was young in the ministry, actually. It's been a long, long time ago. But anyhow, and the Lord said, tell him that he might die, but he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. I thought, well, that's strange. And so I told him that. And then I prayed with him and believed God with him. And then one of the things I prayed and with him before they put him in an induced coma, one of the things I prayed with him is that I said, I am asking the Lord to visit you while you are under this anesthesia. I'm asking him to come talk to you and make himself known to you. And I remember when he got back from I don't know how many months he was in the hospital. They had to graft. He was burnt over 90% of his body with third-degree burns and lived. And in treatment, that St. Francis Hospital, which does treat burn victims, they never had anybody burnt that badly get to certain points. They never dealt with them because they never lived past a certain point. And so they were learning on the go, actually, with him. And anyhow, when he got back and we had a time, and he's one of the most likable guys you've ever been around. Nobody, I've never heard anybody speak a bad word about him. And I always tell him, don't go in the ministry. But anyhow, that particular thing that I prayed, I remember I said, I asked him, I said, did you remember me praying with you and asking the Lord to show himself to you and talk to you? And he said, yes. And then he just started weeping. And he said, Wes, you did. And I said, well, what'd he say? He said, it's none of your business. I said, well, I can go with that. It's okay. But he did visit him. And that's the kind of Lord we have. And so anytime you're in a situation like that, and And that happens from time to time. You can't be in there. But pray that the Lord make himself known to them. It's not that the Lord's left, but just pray that he makes, because God answers prayer. Amen? And we love God. Is that right? We love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And that song, it really is about Jesus. And if you get nothing more out of life except a relationship with Jesus, you've hit a home run, a big-time home run for eternity. It's a grand slam, actually. And so I just want you guys to know that God is looking to be a friend to anyone who will seek him out. He sticks closer than a friend. And so we want that relationship with Jesus. We want our family to have that relationship with Jesus. Many of us grew up not knowing him, and we had the opportunity, thank God, to come to know him. And that in itself is worth being a Christian, knowing that you're going to spend eternity with the Father God. Amen. Because of Jesus. How many of you had a chance to watch The Chosen yet? And you can download the app and you can watch it free, and it's worth watching. It's a fun series. And right now they've got two series done, season one, season two, and they're working on the third one. But it is fun because it puts Jesus in a situation where he just is with the guys, and how he interacts with people. It makes you think that Jesus really was a person that just loved people and opened himself up to him. I like the one of the parts that and I think I shared this with you, but he was ministering to the leper. And the leper came to him, and the disciples, the apostles wanted it. They pulled their knives out, and they were going to take him out because they didn't want him to approach Jesus. And Jesus said, it's okay. And as the scripture says, the leper just kind of knelt down before him. Jesus, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I will. And then he ended up hugging him, and when he hugged him, you could just see the leprosy just disappearing on his skin. And then he asked his disciples, apostles, for a tunic, and he put it on as a green one. And Jesus looked at him and says, green's a good color on you. And he is really particular about how we are in life. So anytime you get to being down in life, just thank God that Jesus is in your life, because your future is bright. It really is, and it will remain that way. I'm going to begin reading in a verse that I shared with you last week, and we're going to kind of go over a little bit more and then get on into the Word. But we simply today, I'm going to share with you tonight, this evening, we speak what God speaks. When people get mad at us because we can say you can have what you say, well, we maybe ought to clarify it, say we can have what God says we can have. And we just say that, we just say what God says. And I don't know when you were growing up, but I remember there were times in my life that I had an opportunity, more so with my mom than my dad, and I won't get into that, but I remember just telling my friends sometimes, I said, they would ask me, well, how can you do that? And I said, because my mom said I could. My mom said I could. And I didn't always tell the truth about that, but most of the time I did. But my mom, when she said I could do it, I could do it. And so I think we need to at least have that confidence in God, that when God tells us we can do something, we are to say, my father told me I could do this. My father did this for me. My father gave me this opportunity, and he wants me to talk like him. And I know that over the years growing up, people that knew me and knew our family, knew my dad, they'd say, you sound just like your dad. And I thought, well, I guess that's good, but I would like for people to get to the place where they say, you sound like you're talking like you're God. Well, I'm not God. I mean, I'm smarter than that. Not smarter than God, but I'm smarter. I'm too smart to think that I could be God. But I am not dumb in that I think that I can be like him. I want to be like him. I want him to be my example. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 22 verse 17 says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. And that goes back to verse 17. It says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Let them, the words of the wise, all be fixed upon your lips. And the King James says it like this, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall a whistle be fitted in thy lips. So there is a heart-mouth connection that the Bible talks about all the way through. And then the Amplified says, listen, consent and submit to the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them. Your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. Your lips should grow comfortable confessing what the Word of God says about you. It should be something that you push back from it when you begin to talk about who you are in Christ. And if you just remind yourself from time to time, like Philemon says, that we are to acknowledge everything, every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. Acknowledge everything. Everything that was done in Jesus Christ, we are to acknowledge that. And you'll hear other people do that, but for us, we need to acknowledge it for ourselves. It's just like when you confess that you're Jesus, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. There are some people that can't confess it. And I'm a person that's operating by a wrong spirit, if you are, the spirit of Antichrist. There are some people that just cannot do that. I remember talking to a person that was caught up in what we would term to be maybe a cult. But I remember asking this person, I said, can I ask you a question? You tell me that you know God. You tell me that you love God. Can you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord? He got really quiet. I said, it's pretty simple. Jesus is Lord. Stayed quiet. I said, it's real simple. Because the Bible says if you know God, you can acknowledge Him with your lips. You can declare, you can believe in your heart and with your mouth confession be made unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He couldn't do that. And I thought, well, you know, the Bible bore itself out again in truth, because those people, they want you to think that they know God, but they don't know God, because you cannot know God unless you know His Son, because it's Him we have access through to the Father. No man, Jesus says, come to the Father except by Him. Amen. So the word that God speaks to you and me is the word that must be spoken through us. We just simply say about ourselves what God says about us. And there are people that will take issue with that, but you know, they have to say that. I mean, that's one way you get born again. With the heart, a man believes in the righteous and believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So there is a heart and there is a mouth connection. You connect your mouth with your heart and you say about yourself what the Lord says about you. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you become a child of God. Amen. And it's God's will that not any should perish, but that how many should come into the kingdom of God? All. There's some people, well, not everybody's supposed to be born again. Well, that scripture is pretty clear. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into the kingdom. That's God's heart. Will everybody do that? No. Not everybody gets healed. I believe, just like I said Sunday, I believe it's the will of God to heal everyone, every time, all the time, everywhere, anywhere. Because that's the heart of the Father. But we enter into that with our mouth. We begin to declare what the Word of God says. Let's look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. And this is Paul talking about, or Peter talking about, an angel that had appeared. But in verse 14 says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. You know, I think it's important that we realize that the Holy Spirit will fall on people. He will move on people's lives, but He always does it based up on and around the Word of God. Amen. The Word is Spirit and it is truth. So here the Apostle Peter is telling the leaders of the church at Jerusalem about his unusual experience at a Gentile's house, happened to be Cornelius's house. And the Cornelius had an experience with an angel who he said, who would tell thee words told Cornelius whereby thou and thy household shall be saved. Listen to this. People are saved by hearing words. people are delivered by hearing words. Words are carriers of salvation. Words are carriers of healing. Words are carriers of redemption. Words are carriers of deliverance. Words are carriers. And those words are words spoken in faith simply about what God says about you, you say about yourself. But those are words that God said. The New King James says in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, and another place it talks about the Holy Spirit fell on them, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Where does the Holy Spirit fall? On all of those who hear the word of God. It's good. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit falls specifically where people hear the word of God. That's why sometimes you can go into a church and you can just say, dear Lord, it's just different. It seems like when the word began to be spoken, it just seemed like I sensed something different about that place. And I think rightfully so. We should have ourselves built up, not just as a pastor, but as the people of a body. We should have ourselves built up in the word of God so that when people come into our presence, they sense a presence. I remember years ago I was at I was the president of Minister Alliance, and there was a sister, a Catholic sister there that was on the board, and she was secretary of the board, I believe, and I could give you her name, but she's long move away. Then another man that was on the board, a vice president at that time, was the Methodist church pastor. He's been gone for years as well. But when I sat down and we started talking, the Methodist pastor looked at me and said, you know, I don't know what it is, but when I'm around you, it just makes me feel like my faith gets stronger. And sister looked at me and she said, me too. And I thought, well, that was kind of unique. And I didn't do it. I mean, I just walked there and sat down, and I don't know if I was having a good day, bad day, but they sensed something different about it. You know, literally people should sense something different about us if we've been spending time with the Lord. Amen. I also remember a time when I went in to pray for a young girl, a young 13-year-old girl who had overdosed. And before we went in, back then, the Catholic Church still had their hand on the chaplaincy and that kind of thing in the hospital. And so I had to get special permission. I had to have the parents who had never been to our church tell them, I said, would you like me to be your pastor? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, well, tell them that I'm your pastor then. And they just made a quick choice right there. That was pretty easy to get them involved. They never did come to church. But I said, before we go in, I want to pray with you. And I got down on my knees before me, and there was this Catholic nun came up behind me, and she listened to me, and I prayed. And I prayed that that young lady would live and not die. And I prayed a prayer of faith. I spoke about that situation, what God would say about that. If you ask anything, if two or more of you agree on earth as touching anything, we shall ask it be done by our Father which is in heaven. And I just begin to say what God said about the prayer of agreement. And I begin to say, if you have not because you ask not, Lord, we're asking you to spare the life of this young lady. And I got through and I said, in the name of Jesus. And this little Catholic nun behind me, she said, that has got to be the best prayer I've ever heard. And I thought, I don't know what the difference is, but it has to be the element of faith. It really does. Because faith is different. There are people that think they believe, but there's no faith in it. In other words, they're not taking God at His word. They're taking God at a sign becoming visible to them. God, you said this. I'm not making this up. You're the one that said this. And then you're the one that told me to say it. And so when I went in, and it doesn't get any easier sometimes in those situations, because when I went into the ICU room, the attending nurse there in the ICU, she still lives in Hayes. She's a nice lady, but she was a little bit leery of me. She didn't know me. And she said, can I help you? And I said, I'm here to see so-and-so. She says, well, what are you? Are you her? I said, I'm her pastor. I'm her self-appointed pastor. I didn't say that, but you know, I got permission from her parents, and she looked at the parents. I said, it's okay. And so I went in there and I started praying with that young lady. She was, of course, in a, and, and in she was in a coma from the medication that she had taken, and they had a tube they were pumping her stomach, and the medication, they found her a little bit late, and they need to, that kind of medication, they need to get it out quickly, and she'd slept part of the night with it in her system. And so they weren't giving her much hope. And, so I went in and I stood down at the end of the bed and I put my hand on it. I started praying in tongues out loud. And she, that nurse looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying for her. And she didn't ask me, you know, I'm sure she probably never recognized anybody praying in the spirit that I know of. I don't know that, but I prayed in the spirit for about 15 minutes over her. And I just said, I thank God. And that lady, that nurse just stood there and looked at me like, some kind of freak. And I think sometimes the normal people, I can look pretty freakish, and then I open my mouth and I can prove I'm a little freaky sometimes. But I think in those moments, you just have to lovingly trust God. Because if I'm there to win a popularity contest, I'm not winning. Because they've already proven they're not so really much liking me at that time. And to make a long story a little bit shorter, right around noon that time, I got a call from a lady by the name of Becky, who goes to our church. At that time, she went about every Christmas and Easter. But she said, Pastor West, thank you for going and praying for that. And she said right around noon, a little bit before noon, that little girl just sat up in bed totally well. And I think sometimes if you back off, and I'm not saying we have to be pushy, but sometimes we have to be lovingly just nudgy. and so we're trying to help them just like they are. And we're just kind of helping them with a different view, if you will. And I think if you can get God involved, you got something good involved. So as we speak the word, I really do believe that the Bible teaches that the heavens will open up. And God will look down from heaven and by his spirit begin to infuse himself into that situation. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? And that's in the book of Numbers. And so we begin to trust God, that when we trust him and we begin to speak the word of God, God hears from heaven. And the Bible tells you and I that God watches over his word to perform it, to enact it in our life. Can you say amen? So again, the words of God that we speak literally are words of salvation. They're words of salvation. And the words of peace. The other morning when I think I shared a little bit, Sunday morning about maybe getting up late, and I was just uneasy about some stuff, and I got up and I just started reading the word, and it was just in moments that the peace of God just enveloped me. And it was amazing how that came. But you know, had I not gotten up, I probably would have laid there and just wrestled with myself for the rest of the night. But I want the peace of God. Even when you're in a situation that doesn't look like there's a lot of peace available, Jesus Christ is always going to be the Prince of Peace. He's always going to be the one through which we have access to the Father. He's always going to be the one that the Holy Spirit is pointing us toward. And so when we begin to live that way, we begin to live the way, I believe, in a higher level, if you will, of life with God. Life with God is good. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I know him. I'm thinking, I don't know how many people, and I think that's what we're dealing with in the world a lot. So many people, even Christians, are moved so much by fear about what's going on. And I can understand that we have that challenge. But the Bible reminds us that God's not given us a spirit of fear. And we just begin to say that about ourselves. God said, God has not given us, what has he not given us? A spirit of fear. We do not have to operate under spirit of fear. If he's not given us that spirit of fear, guess where it does come from? And so people then begin to go more by that fear than they do by faith in God. And faith in God always works. If you can keep yourself in a peaceful calm that God himself gives, you're going to be a lot happier about life. Daniel 10, verse 12. This is Daniel listening and being told by angels deliver good messages. Every now and then, sometimes we don't think angels should speak the word of God, but they can deliver a word from God to you. And there's many accounts in the Bible that they do. But here's one for Daniel receiving a word. An angel appears to Daniel and said, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." What was heard? Isn't that interesting? Could have said thoughts. Could have said imaginations. It says your words. The first day you prayed, your words were heard. And I, the angel, says, I've come because of your words. Angels hearken unto the word of God. And when God speaks a word and he wants them, angels can be a delivering force for him, a delivering tool. They'll come and give it. Just like the angel that came and told Mary, said, "Behold, Mary, you're highly favored among women." Didn't say above women, but among women. You're highly favored. And then after the angel told her what was going to happen to her, she looked at that angel and said, "How's that going to happen?" And the angel said, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and there will be birthed into you the Messiah, the Son of God." And then she said, "Let it be unto me according to the word that the angel delivered," which happened to be the word that God spoke. And so believing prayer, words of believing prayer and words of faith, they literally do move the power of heaven, if you will, to move in our lives. I think it's really wonderful when you pray to understand that God answers your prayers. I know the psalmist said, "Lord, I love you because you answered my prayer." I love the Lord because he's answered my prayer. And there are times, and I, as I said Sunday morning, there are times I wish he would manifest him quicker than he does. And I don't know that God gets all hung up in the quicks, because whenever God's coming, that's never too late when he shows up. You know, there's been several dead people that were raised from the dead, and most people say, "Well, it must be too late." But when God shows up, it's never too late. That's what Smith Wigglesworth said one time. He had a friend that had died, and they asked him to come out and pray for a friend who had passed away. And I get some of these stories mixed up, people that read Smith Wigglesworth's stories, but some people said it was his wife. I don't remember it being his wife. I just remember it being somebody else. But somebody called him to pray for somebody who had died, and they'd already, back in those days, they would put the body to view in the homes. I mean, when my grandpa passed away years ago when I was 5 years old, which is a long time ago, but when my grandpa, but they had his body in our house, and people came over to that her house to view the body. And I remember grandma picking me up and saying, "You want to go touch grandpa?" And I thought, not in a cold day in Hades, I'm not doing. I didn't know about it. But no, I was not all that into dead bodies. All that did was frighten me, because death seemed so final. And I didn't know there was something way beyond that as a 5-year-old boy. And a little bit alarming, but Smith Wigglesworth showed up at this place where this person had been dead for several days, and when he showed up, they said, "Smith, I wish you would have just gotten here earlier. You're too late." And he says, "I'm never too late when God sends me." So if God's in it, time's not a problem. Amen. Can everybody say amen to that? And I think to make that story even better, and I don't think I'm embellishing it, but I think he had help dragging that body out of the casket, pushed the body up into the corner, and said, "Live in the name of Jesus." Let go, and the body just slumped down into the floor. Picked him back up, put him in the corner, and said, "I said live in the name of Jesus." Let go, and the body just slipped. So, man, I don't know about you, but that'd be getting a little bit discouraging if you weren't really a high level of faith. And he did that 3 or 4 times, and the last time he did, he said, "I said live!" And that person came back to life and just walked out of the corner. He said, "I don't believe that." Well, you don't have to, but there were a lot of people there that were eyewitnesses at that time. Most of them now are dead. But again, see, your faith demands to see something. Why couldn't God do that? If he created the heavens and earth, bringing a body back to life that he created is not a problem for him. He's the one that put those organs in that body. He's the one that created the organs that made that body function. He's the one that can take that sick organ and make it brand new. He's the one that can give some of us, and has when we got born again, a new brain. Amen? At least the opportunity to redo it. Amen? But the angel said, "I have come because of your words." What words are you speaking? Because the angel will not hearken to words of death. Demons will, but the angels won't. They hearken to the word of God. It's just important to understand that the spoken word is powerful. It's more powerful than your head thinks. Well, I'm not doing much good. The word of faith should not be difficult to understand. The Bible says the word of God can be simply understood, actually. God did not send his word to confuse us. In the book of Romans, says, or in Corinthians, it says God has not given us a mind of confusion. He's not a God of confusion. He's given us, in Timothy, it talks about not only has he not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us a mind that is sound. Amen. And so whatever the word of God says is what we say. We speak it. We just simply say about ourselves what God says about. God says I'm the righteousness of God, then I agree with him. God says I'm the healed and the whole, then I agree with him. God says I come behind and no good thing, then I agree with him. God says he'll bless me coming and going, then I agree with him. God says he'll bless everything I set my hand into, then, and of course in obedience to him, I agree with him. Why wouldn't I want to agree with him? Amen. And I remember a good friend of mine by the name of Bill Green, he talked about times that he was learning to be obedient and walk in the blessing of God. But he said there were times in his life, he said, I was so broke I couldn't pay attention. But there's also times you can take that one step farther. Sometimes people get so sick it's hard for them to pay attention to the Word of God, but that's when they need to pay attention. Amen. Because regardless of how you feel, the Scripture is still true when it says himself, Jesus, took your infirmities and bore your sickness. Can you say amen? Romans 10 verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. So the word is near you. And then it goes on. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Salvation, healing, and blessing is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's in your mouth. Well, Pastor, bless me. Oh, I bless you in the name of Jesus. There are times, and you've heard me say this, I know people, because when you walk in a position of pastor, you get to know people and you get to know how they're living. Sometimes people don't always live for Christ when they walk out those doors. They live a compromised lifestyle. And so when I see them and I ask them how they're doing, they'll say, I'm blessed. And I just want to slap them. Because God doesn't bless sin. And when you're living an open sin against God, I mean, you just need to walk in repentance before God and keep yourself pure so that you can walk in the blessing of God. Can you say amen? So salvation, healing, blessing, deliverance is on the inside of you. It's in you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. I am free. I am free from the bondage of death. I am free from the bondage of the fear of death. I am free. I'm not a joyless person. I am full of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, as it says in Nehemiah. We need to declare about ourselves what God says. When we're having a hard time, we're struggling, and the joy of the Lord is not ours, we need to declare out right in the midst of joyless living. Amen. But I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, Romans 10, 8 through 10, out of the Message. I like the way the Message reads here. Beginning in verse 8, the word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master. Embracing body and soul. God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. I like when it says the welcoming word of God, or the welcoming word of faith. It's as near as your tongue and near as your heart. It's on the inside. All God's waiting for you is to say what he says about you, and he'll bring it to pass in your life. That's why I don't mind saying it more than once. I'm the healed and the whole. I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going. I've been saying that verse out of Deuteronomy for years. Everything I say. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I like being blessed. I remember Brother Hagin talking about one time. When he finally found out this word of truth, he never drove anything but a Cadillac. He loved Cadillacs. And anyhow, one pastor friend of his got mad and all bent out of shape because he was driving Cadillacs and he didn't think a man of God ought to drive a Cadillac. It's amazing. It's okay if some sinner that's a billionaire or a millionaire drives Cadillacs or Mercedes. They drive more than a Cadillac. They'll drive a Bentley. They'll drive Porsche. They'll drive, they'll drive hundreds of thousands of dollars. And never get mad at them for driving cars like that, serving the devil. But you get a Christian that gets blessed to God, people get mad at him. But anyhow, this one preacher got so mad at Brother Hagin, he reached through the window and grabbed him, wanting to fight him, and Brother Hagin looked at him and said, "Brother, I love you. I have nothing against you, and I want you to be blessed of God." And he said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "Did your faith get you that Chevrolet?" And that guy said, "Well, yeah." He says, "Well, don't get mad at me because I've got Cadillac faith and you don't." Does that make sense to anybody? It's the welcoming word of God. Acknowledge everything that's in you through Christ Jesus. Dare to open the door to the supernatural with your words, just declaring about your life what God says about your life. God is on your side. I'm going to give you a few scriptures and I'll close here. I call this lock and load. When you find out what the Word of God says, you just begin to confess it about yourself. Here's a confession. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And you get that out of Romans 10, 9 and 10. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I say openly, Jesus is Lord. That comes out of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. There's another confession. I have been born again. God is my very own Father, and I am His very own child. That comes out of Romans 8, 14 and 15. And you just saying about yourself what God says about yourself. I'm just giving you a few, but I've been born again. God is my very own Father. I'm His very own child. Romans 8, 14, 15. Another scripture that we get this confession from. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I didn't write this, and I didn't say this. I'm just repeating what God said. These were words given by the Holy Spirit. And then, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13, we get that out of. I know I have eternal life. The very life and nature of God is in me. And that comes out of 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. Those are literal words from God saying, I know I have eternal life. Why? Because of what it says in 1 John 5, 11 and 12. The very life and nature of God is in me. Another one. Jesus said He would never leave me nor forsake me, so I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. We get that out of Hebrews 13, verse 5. And then again another, it is God who works in me both to will and to do His good pleasure. That comes out of Philippians 2, verse 13. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We should confess that a lot. We need to understand that we have the ability, God-given ability through Jesus Christ, to stand before God without a sense of shame, guilt, or condemnation. If you agree with that, you can say. And then when you're running low on supplies, Philippians 4:19, how could we ever forget that? But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. And all those come from the Word of God. Jesus said, if you believe upon Him, believe upon His name, you would be saved. We didn't say that. Jesus says that. We just keep on trusting in Him. We trust in Him with all our heart, and we lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge Him, and He directs our paths. You know, just real quickly, how many of you have benefited from saying and speaking the word about a situation that looked like it had gone south on you? Can you give me an example? I don't want to put you on the spot, but what was it? So when you're blessed, part of that's having favor with not only God, but with man. Giving you extra hours, helping you, blessing you. Sometimes somebody comes by and gives you a Pentecostal handshake. Don't you like those? That's better than a Pentecostal slap in the face. Amen. What else? No, that's good. Thank you. I like that. See, you're speaking right in the midst of death-filled situation. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus is the Word. He and the Word are one same. He comes in and resurrects you from death-filled situation. I was talking to Tim yesterday, and he said one of the people that respiratory therapist came in, and Tim was turned over, and this guy came in and said something like, he said, "You either start doing what we tell you to do or you're going to die." And Tim looked at him and said, "You're going to have to get out of this room. You're not going to talk that way in this room. So you just get on out of here." He said, I said, "What happened?" See, he left. And his whole attitude changed when he came back in there. "You're not going to speak death around me." You know, I'm aware of its tentacles a little bit and the last thing you need is somebody's trying to help you come in. "You do what we say, you're going to die." "You better do what I say, you're going to die." But you can say it nicely. But I think sometimes you just got to make a stand. Amen. And the Word is what you stand on. You know, you let the Word do the work for you. Anybody else got a couple? Those are good. Belinda? I like that. That's good. Anybody else? Sandra. Yeah, amen. She had talked to her. She's had some miracles that just don't typically happen. But you say it with man, it doesn't typically, but with God, it does happen. And hallelujah. But we just begin to say about ourselves, "Well, God, that's not..." All you're doing is bragging on God. And it's not being arrogant. You're just being confident in Him. "I'm blessed coming in. I wake up. I'm the well. I'm not on my way to being healed. I am the healed." And that's the position we all live from. "I am the blessed. Not going to be. I am the blessed. How dare the enemy come in and try and tell me we can't be blessed? I am. I'm already there. How dare the enemy come in and tell me I cannot be at peace in my soul? How dare?" And that's where I start. But you have to fight the good fight of faith, and that's just saying about yourself what God says. Randy. Kissing Anita.
I got up one morning and I could not find that thing, and we
exactly. Little things put smiles on my face, put them in my heart. So, hallelujah. Father, we bless you tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness of your word. Thank you for the holiness of your word. And thank you for the privilege of having that word breathed into our beings. We thank you, Lord. And Father, I speak the blessing of God over each person here, those within the sound of my voice. Lord, that increase would be theirs, spirit, soul, body, and finance. And Lord, and we declare this next week to be the season of good news, because you are the God of good news, and you're our God. And we bless you for it. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said, amen, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.